This is Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Back to your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining our show today. And we'd like you to tell your friends to tune in.
That's right.
And if they can't tune in when the show is on live, you just go to the TalkZone website and click on the archive for us, and you can listen to all the shows. Especially last week was very funny. I listened to it myself.
Can you believe it?
It was very funny.
About.
Normally, when I listen to the shows, I get depressed. But last week was actually, you were funny. You actually were pretty funny. And this week, you're really on a roll. And I think going from the Johnny Walker to a single malt scotch has improved you, your performance,
it
enormously.
It has.
I'm
much smoother.
Yes, you are. You're the only drunken show on the radio.
You want to know what I gave up last year for lunch?
Yes, I would like to know that.
Sobriety. I would. That was a great sacrifice.
It was. Right. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. In fact, you know, most people prefer you drunk. You're much more pleasant when you have a few drinks. Anyway, no, he's
to
a
all
very...
you temperance people out there, don't believe it. This is just to make
We're just
fun.
Having a little fun. Right. This is the Dean Martin of... We're the Dean Martin of
that's
radio.
Right, that's right.
Right. Okay. Anyhow, the truth is there are people who, when they drink a little bit, more of them comes out. And in your case, it's delightful, charming, and sometimes
well, I'm
it's
tell you,
mean and vicious. There's some
well,
mean
no,
and vicious
took,
people out.
I have a story about that very thing. About,
well, go ahead.
Well, there was a this town, and there was a new minister came, a Methodist Baptist or Methodist minister came to this town out in the West, and he went there, and he was new, and he had a religious belief about, you know, liquor and everything.
Right.
Any rate, he was new and didn't know anybody, but somebody said, look, Reverend, there's going to be a cocktail party at Mrs. Smith's house tonight, and I think you ought to be there. The whole community will be there. It's a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And you can there, and you
meet
get
people.
To meet people. So
yeah.
He went there, and he felt a little strange, naturally, among all strangers, but he saw a priest over in the corner. And so he felt, well, he's a man of the cloth. I can go over there and start a conversation and so forth. So we went over, saw the priest, said, my name is Reverend Smith. The priest said, my name is Father Flaherty, and so forth. And they started to talk. And when the minister said to the priest, is that a, what do you have in your hand? Oh, he said, it's a martini. It's a cocktail, the priest said. And he said, has that got alcohol in it? Oh, he said, yes, but I suggest that you have one, the priest said to the minister, because it'll warm you up. And you'll be able to talk to people. It'll loosen you up a little bit,
right,
just as
relax.
You said, Randall.
Yeah, relax.
Relax.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, oh, he said, no, I'm not allowed to have that. He said, you want to know something? I'd rather commit adultery than have liquor pass my lips. The priest said, so would I, but all we got tonight are cocktails. So anyway,
with that, it's time.
Which has nothing to do with anything, but your suggestion suggested it.
To you.
To me.
All right. Now, are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's time for questions from our loyal listeners.
Right.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right. Well, we're back here with our loyal listeners' questions. Are you ready, Professor?
I am.
Okay, here we go. Pam from Clearwater, Florida writes, Dear Jim and Randall, how speedy is my right to a speedy trial?
Well, your right is speedy, whether you get the trial or not, whether the trial is speedy. Your right to a speedy trial is statutory,
speedy.
And yes, it is. There are time limitations between the time of arrest and indictment, the time between the indictment and the trial. I believe in most cases 90 days, but you must understand there are federal rules, and each state has different rules. So I would advise you, are you waiting for trial?
Well, I was going to say, Pam, next time put down here on the question what you have been arrested for.
But and it only obviously applies to criminal cases. And the fact is that in different jurisdictions, it's different time periods. So I can't tell you
exactly
what it would be for 50 different jurisdictions plus the federal jurisdiction. But I can say most of the states have time limits. And very often, though, they're waived because the defendant, the person accused,
you, Pam,
needs the extra time to prepare the case.
So make sure your case is solid, Pam. Don't rush into this.
The district attorney has his case pretty well made up when he brings it to the grand jury. So you're right, there's speedy traction. I have to ask you, I have to tell you, excuse me, that the speediness of that depends on where you are, and you'd have to find out what the rules are in your particular state,
right,
and if it has such rules, and I believe it probably does.
And you're lucky, because Pam, because you're in Clearwater, Florida. So for pushing those two old men across the street, you're not going to get a jaywalking ticket.
Right.
All right, Deborah, we're going to go from one extreme climate to the other. We went from Clearwater, Florida. We're going to Lewiston, Maine. Deborah from Lewiston, Maine writes, "Dear Jim and Randall, can I be excused from a jury because I believe in the death penalty?"
Well, that's let me say this. If it's a state which has the death penalty, no, you can't be excused because if you believe in the death penalty, they want you to. In a state which has the death penalty...
Which doesn't have the death penalty.
Why don't you let me finish, please? Stop sticking your big nose into my business here.
I'm trying to help you.
Just a minute. It's an important subject.
All right, go ahead.
In a state which has the death penalty, if you did not believe in it, you might get excused from the jury. Now, on the other side of the coin, the obverse, is that in states which don't have the death penalty, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it because they can't get it. They're not going to impose the death penalty if those states do not have the death penalty. So that's my answer. Don't worry about it.
All right. And you know what she said? I don't know what she
Go
said.
Go ahead. Make my day.
That's what she said.
Yeah, you're great. Our sound effects man.
He's a little slow at the trigger.
Well, he is. And I think he's gotten into some of our
some of your
here.
All right. Dagwood. Are
yes,
you ready?
Yes.
I love that name, Dagwood. That's a classic name. That's a comic
well,
series name.
Comic book.
Yeah, I love it. They still on. Dagwood is still going. And Blondie.
Dagwood and Blondie.
Right, Dagwood right, Bumstead, right. His name
is. Yeah, Bumstead, right.
Bumstead. Dagwood, now this isn't the same one.
No.
Dagwood from Houston, Texas writes, "Dear Jim and Randall, do laws go out of style? And if they do, give me an example of one."
Well, they do go out of style. But they usually, laws, instead of going out of style, are revised to keep up with the changes in different things. For instance, laws that would relate to horses and carriages and stuff like that have been changed to relate to automobiles and so forth. Laws relating to slavery, obviously, are out of style. As a matter of fact, they're out of commission. But those kinds of things. So, yes, laws do go out of style, but generally they're handled through amendment and through bringing laws up to date. And that's exactly what our system of common law is. It changes as precedences are varied as society changes its ways and its mores.
Well, there you have it, Dagwood. Say hello to Blondie for us.
Yes.
Hank.
And I like your sandwiches.
Oh, love
They're
the
terrific.
Sandwiches. Hank from Mount Kisco, New York writes, "Dear Jim and Randall, the Supreme Court recently upheld that an individual has the right to own firearms. Now, here's his question. Pay attention. Do you agree with the interpretation of the Constitution?"
Well, my answer is yes. Of course, that doesn't, you know, I'm not going to tell you whether I agree with whether we should have the right to bear arms. It's not a question of what we should have, what we would like to have. What the question is whether the Constitution protects that right, and in my opinion, it unequivocally does.
Uh-huh.
You have the right to bear arms, and the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution so provides.
And
the
it.
Question has been always, you know, they just raised this recently in
well,
the
this
Supreme
is,
Court.
Well, that's why he's saying, did they make the right decision?
They made the right decision.
All right.
There's no question, in my mind, that the individual has the right to bear arms.
And there you have it.
You're right.
Okay.
Right.
Kate from Naples, Florida.
Yes.
Back to Florida. "Dear Jim and Randall, what are the reasons that a judge can remove a juror from the jury?"
Well, really, the reason a judge removes a juror, and the lawyers have a right to remove jurors, too, for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But a juror is removed basically because they cannot act impartially, or they cannot make a determination on the evidence presented in court and only on that. That means they may have read about it in the paper, and they made up their mind for that.
They have a bias.
Or they have a bias based on that. Or they have a natural bias. Or they have some, let's face it, a religious bias. They can't. Maybe that some people have a religious reason not to do something. So in that regard, but the basic test is, can you fairly decide impartially based upon the credible evidence presented to you in this courtroom. If you say you can't, you're going to be excused.
Right.
And if the judge feels you can't, he's going to excuse you.
Okay.
And he also, let me say this, if you're incompetent to serve, for instance, you're mentally, you have a mental deficit.
You can't read.
You can't
read.
You can't see. Right. Stuff like that.
Now, that doesn't, you could still be a politician.
Well, you could be, right.
You could run for any office in the country. But, all right, here's the last question. We're going to keep moving here. Dirk from Baltimore, Maryland writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is house arrest and does it exist today in the United States?
Yes, it does. We just talked about it on the program.
It's similar, yeah.
You're confined to your home. And usually now they have this electronic device that you wear, so they know if you leave your home, they're going to nail you. So that there is house arrest. You know, it's really called home confinement.
Right.
It might be called house arrest. Depends, again, on the various jurisdictions. Some states may not have it, but I believe most of them do have that. It's not used very often. Let me tell you that.
Right. It's used.
It's not. And I don't
prudently.
Think it. Frankly, I disagree with Madoff getting house arrest because he's a big shot. That's crazy.
Right.
Throw him in a clink. The guy, why should you let him run around? Because he's a multi-millionaire and has embezzled and cheated people at a multi-billions of dollars.
Okay.
And some poor guy goes, steals a loaf of bread, and you throw him in a clink. So I think...
You've really been pushing that bread story for years.
That's right. I have. And people really don't steal a loaf of bread anymore. They go in and they really
take
steal.
A whole turkey.
Take
right.
the whole thing.
The whole thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've survived so far, so now it's time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to our new president, Barack Obama. In his ABC interview last Monday, Obama attacked the Bush approach on fighting terror. He claimed that in the case of the first attack on the World Trade Center, we were able to arrest those responsible and put them to trial. They are currently in U.S. prisons incapacitated. As an assistant U.S. attorney, Andrew McCarthy prosecuted those perpetrators of the 1993 World Trade Center attack. And he calls Obama's statement, quote, a remarkably ignorant account of the American experience with jihadism, close quote.
Our information has it that McCarthy notes, quote, while the government managed to prosecute many people responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, many also escaped prosecution because of the limits on civilian criminal prosecution. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed continues to operate freely because he was beyond the system's capacity to apprehend. Abdul Rahman Yassin was released prematurely because there was not sufficient evidence to hold him. Pointing to the later terrorist attacks on Americans and U.S. assets culminating in 9/11, McCarthy concludes that the law enforcement approach to combating terrorism is futile.
And, that's a very interesting perception. A lot of people
agree. Serious Simon Hart.
It was a serious Simon Hart, but it was a good award anyway, and you've got to keep track of everything.
Yes.
But it's now time to keep track of our crazy crew and introduce them to our listeners. So our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
And our meteorologist, Gale Force.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
Our studio engineer, rollicking Randy Meyer.
Our producer, Chris Confounded-All Cartwright.
And our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
That guy takes the wind right out of me all the time. Unbelievable.
Too.
Our technology advisor, Miss Laverne Lazzarino.
Our legal historian, Sir Edward Faversham III.
Good fellow, Sir Edward.
Oh, absolutely. Oxford, you know.
Really?
Yes, always wears the shoes.
Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Peachbuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. C. Moore Guts.
Our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario Giustinatime.
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 And each week he gets us to the studio.
Giustinatime.
Well, folks, you've managed to squelch and squander another perfectly good hour.
Absolutely.
But we certainly appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed the program. Stay with us. Tell your friends about Lawyers Who Needs Them here on TalkZone.com. And have a good week no matter what happens. Don't forget, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.